Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 29, verses 27 through 46, and this is continuing our reading in the book of Exodus as we look at the ways that God was instructing his people who have been slaves in Egypt. He brings them out and he says, I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people, here's how you are to live in right relationship with me. And so he's providing ways for them to do that, and this is Exodus 29, starting in verse 27, and this is where we are talking specifically about the consecration of priests. But before we read, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day that you have made. God, we thank you for your word which you've given to us. Lord, we ask that this morning you would help us to be those who have ears to hear, who have minds to think and to understand, and who have hearts that are ready to receive your word into our lives. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 29, starting in verse 27, says, consecrate those parts of the ordination ram that belong to Aaron and his sons, the breast that was waved and the thigh that was presented. This is always to be the perpetual share from the Israelites for Aaron and his sons. It is the contribution the Israelites are to make to the Lord from their fellowship offerings. Aaron's sacred garments will belong to his descendants so that they can be anointed and ordained in them. The son who succeeds him as priest and comes to the tent of meeting to minister in the holy place is to wear them 7 days. Take the ram for the ordination and cook the meat in a sacred place. At the entrance to the tent of meeting, Aaron and his sons are to eat the meat of the ram and the bread that is in the basket. They are to eat these offerings by which atonement was made for their ordination and consecration, but no one else may eat them because they are sacred. And if any of the meat of the ordination ram or any bread is left over till morning, burn it up. It must not be eaten because it is sacred. Do for Aaron and his sons everything I have commanded you, taking 7 days to ordain them. Sacrifice a bull each day as a sin offering to make atonement. Purify the altar by making atonement for it and anoint it to consecrate it. For 7 days, make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. Then the altar will be most holy, and whatever touches it will be holy. This is what you are to offer on the altar regularly each day, 2 lambs a year old. Offer one in the morning and the other at twilight. With the first lamb, offer a tenth of an ephah of the finest flour, mixed with a quarter of a hin of oil from pressed olives, and a quarter of a hin of wine as a drink offering. Sacrifice the other lamb at twilight, with the same grain offering and its drink offering as in the morning, a pleasing aroma, a food offering presented to the Lord. For the generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. There I will meet you and speak to you. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. So I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt, so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Turning then to Luke chapter 9, our gospel reading, Luke 9, 1 through 9. So when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed, because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this morning is kind of a special morning. We finished our sermon series going through the book of 1 Corinthians last week. Next week, we have a whole other series started that I'm really excited about, and I'll tell you about that next week. So you've got that to look forward to. In the meantime, we have this sermon that is specifically looking at a couple different passages, which is a little unusual as well, that we have more than one sermon text. But first, we're looking at Matthew chapter 7, and this is verses 15 through 20, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus says right here makes a lot of sense when we first hear it, but it also is the kind of thing that really takes some reflecting on. Here's what I'm talking about. This is Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Now, like I say, that one's pretty easy to understand, right? There's two different kinds of trees. These trees are talking about the different kinds of prophets, as he talks about, you know, watch out for false prophets. So you're like, aha, okay, now we got it. This is what it's about. And it is. Here's the problem. When it talks about the good and bad fruit, I think sometimes we misunderstand what it is, where it comes from, where it leads, why these two trees are different. And then we also have an issue of, because he says, watch out for false prophets, we immediately take this passage and go, okay, how does it apply to someone besides me? Because I'm supposed to be watching out for them. I'm not supposed to be making sure that I'm a good tree, right? I think if that's the case, we may be in more danger than we realize. I'm just going to tell you straight through here. Here's the deal. When we try to push things off like this, naturally, because naturally, and this is the part we don't want to admit. So if I say this and you immediately recoil, that means you're normal. Here's the deal. When we look at the difference between the good trees and the bad trees, we want to put ourselves in the position of the good tree, right? That's where we see ourselves typically. But according to the Bible, we are bad trees by nature. And you're going, now hold on, don't say that about me. That's part of it. We are bad trees by nature because we are those who are in Adam. And we talked about this several weeks ago when we were looking at 1 Corinthians 15, that everyone is born in Adam. That all of us, we all, like sheep, have turned away, gone astray. Each of us has turned to its own way. This is the problem we have. We all fall short of the glory of God. We are all those who are in Adam. We are all those who are in the flesh. We are all those who are living lives that are worldly. And therefore, we are all bad trees by nature. And so what comes out of that? The bad fruit. But there is a different way. There's those who are in Christ. And that is a whole different thing. It's those who are led by the Spirit. And and by the way, you say, but probably what people need is more religion, right? Except that there is a way of approaching religion from a worldly perspective. There's a way of approaching religion with fleshly desires and means, etc. And you know what that does? Worldly religion like this turns people into false prophets. This is why Jesus said we got to watch out, because if we're all bad trees by nature, and then we say, well, what I need to do is just do more religion, and I'm going to do it on my own strength, I'm going to do it my own way, now watch out. Maybe on the road to becoming a false prophet yourself. This is why we're supposed to watch out. And and this happens all the time, and people become false prophets, whether that religion that they are a part of is called Christianity or sports or politics or education or entertainment or marketing, etc., etc., etc. Because it tries to display its own religion's version of good fruit. But that fruit that it actually produces is like the whitewashed tombs that Jesus talked about. Looks good on the outside, dead on the inside. So, what is a natural worldly fruit? What is the real good fruit? And how do we cultivate the good fruit and actually become the kind of people who produce it? That's where we look at our second passage. Here we go. Galatians 5. There it is. Galatians 5, 13 to 26. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Did you hear it? What is the worldly fruit? What is it that just comes naturally, by nature, to every person? It's the acts of the flesh. And he says it's obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, and orgies, and the like. It's not even a complete list. There we go. Oops, not even the right one. There we go. But he says, there's a difference. There's a good fruit. And the good fruit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We don't have time to go through what all of these mean in depth, but surely, even if you know what some of them mean, you can tell a difference between these two categories, right? You can see that there is actually something different. If you were to take one and put it in the other category, it wouldn't fit. It doesn't fit. It's a whole other kind of thing. This is when Jesus says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No, because thistles produce thistles and fig trees produce figs. That's the idea. And the problem is we are tempted to deceive ourselves when it comes to this. Because if naturally it's the acts of the flesh that come naturally to us, then there are a couple different ways that we will try to deal with that. And one of the ways is by excusing ourselves. Because we look at that list and we go, well, I don't do that one, and I don't do that one, and so I'm good. That's not the way it works. The other way we do it is we try to convince ourselves that some of these items actually belong on the other list. And go, well, that one's not really that bad. That's actually probably just fine. And it seems that way until maybe you hold it up right next to that other list and go, oh yeah, actually there's a pretty big difference. So what is the difference? Well, one of the differences is that the worldly acts, this worldly fruit, it's normal, it's natural, but it's deadly. And it comes from pride. It comes from our rebellion against our Creator. And it comes from a focus on ourselves. And when we are like that, And when we see people who are like that, hopefully, if we are those who have heard and understood the good news of the gospel, we say, I don't want to follow that way. I don't want to follow people who encourage me to follow that way. We know where that leads. The good fruit, on the other hand, is supernatural. It's godly. It's life-giving. And it comes from humility, gratitude, and a love for God and for others. Do you see it? That is who we want to follow. And this is where it comes from. It says at the end of that passage, since we live, one verse earlier, those who belong to Christ Jesus, remember we talked about in Adam and in Christ? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, it's those, the parts that are bearing, going back to the fruit tree thing. The reason one kind of tree bears that kind of fruit is because it's that kind of tree. That's what it just produces. And if you had an orange tree that decides it wants to bear apples, it can't do that by just trying really hard to bear apples. It'll try really, really hard. And it may even make some oranges that kind of look like apples. And maybe people will be fooled. But those aren't apples. And so what needs to happen is you actually need to be changed. There's a it talks in Romans about us being grafted into the family tree of Jesus. And there's a whole thing when it comes to that. But if you think about it in the terms that Jesus gives, we get connected to him and we start bearing the fruit that comes from his life. And that's what things on the right side there. And so we crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Final passage, and I want you to hear. This is John 15, verses 1 through 17, where Jesus talks about how it's actually it's his love. It's his joy that he is giving to us, that he is changing us into his kind of people. That's not the worldly kind. Anyway, and this is how that happens. This is John 15, verses 1 through 17. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Some of you have felt that pruning and you didn't like it, but now you know why it happens. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day that you have made. God, we do thank you for creating us and giving us life. But God, we also thank you for coming to us in our rebellion and giving us new life. God, I thank you that we can be those who are no longer in Adam, but those who are in Christ. That we would bear a different kind of fruit because we are a different kind of people. God, I pray that you would help us to cooperate with you, with the fruit that you are trying to grow in us, and the fruit that you're trying to prune away from us. God, help us not to resist. Help us to understand and accept that you are good and you have good intentions for what you do. And help us to trust. Lord, I do pray for those that we have mentioned and ask that you would continue to work in their lives to bring the healing that is needed. And watch over those who are traveling and protect them from the dangers around. Lord, I ask this for all of us as well. God, that you would protect us from all evil. Lord, even when that is something that we are occasionally drawn to. Help us to see it for what it is. Turn us back to you. Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our debts. We forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.